Happy New Year. Good to see all of you. Looking forward to what God is going to be doing in 2019 here on the Hill. We already know there are some exciting things and some challenges that are facing us, so this is going to be a great opportunity for us to trust the Lord in new and fresh ways. So I want to ask you, if you will, to open up your Sunday bulletin if you haven't already. Get out your Life Point outline so you get ready for the first message of 2019. Starting a new series today, I hope that you will travel with me and the other pastors that are going to be sharing this series with me. We're going to be talking about the path to change and just how we go about making significant changes in our life. This morning, we're looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, 17, and 18, which I'll be reading in just a moment. Now, I want you to understand what I'm going to be doing and where we're going to be focusing. I want to focus for particularly these first 3 weeks, today and the next two Sundays. I want to talk in some areas that I haven't really talked about before. I want to share with you some things about some traditions in the Christian faith that God's kids have been using for centuries that maybe you're not familiar with. Things like, of course, like we're talking about fasting today. This may be some new territory for you. If you've been here very long on the Hill, you're familiar with us doing fast at the beginning of each year. So we're just going to refresh ourselves on that. But also going to be talking about meditation, Christian meditation, not sitting in a lotus position on the floor going, and looking inward. The answer is not inward. The answer is upward, right? And so we're not looking into ourselves for the answer and for the clues to life. And so we're going to talk about silence and the power of silence in your life. And in this high technology age, that's going to certainly, I think, be beneficial for you. And so I look forward to that. And then we're going to dive into some other areas. So it's going to be a fun run. And I believe we will share with you some things that I hope will bring about some revival in your personal life. And I'm talking about primarily keeping your faith, my faith, fresh. Keeping it alive. Not waning in power and in strength. Where that we're not just going through the motions. I don't want you doing that. You know, one of the things, when I think about fresh, I don't know if you're like me, but one of the things that comes to my mind when I think about fresh is fresh hot rolls. Can I get an amen? Just saying, all right? You know, some good hot rolls, like, how many of you have been to one of those restaurants where they do the throat rolls? You ever done that? Isn't that fun? I saw one guy really get on someone there. He tossed it to them, and they fumbled it. And he just stood there and looked at them. I thought, Lord, have mercy. And he said, you drop another one, and I won't give it to you. So that kind of rattled all the rest of us. But he caught the next one. All right, so what I want to do. Now, these are fresh rolls. And, you know, they're covered with butter, so I graciously put them in a sack because I don't want you to get grease on your clothes or anything. But let me ask you, how many over here? I need a couple of you. You'd say, okay, Pastor, throw me a roll. Who would do that? You got it? All right, here we go. Oh, off. Hey, I got it. Done. Woo! Sign me up. I threw it at him instead of over. All right, here we go. Come on. Let me see. Not getting very far. Somebody grab that one. I tell you what, there's, me trying to keep you from getting greasy, it's killing my throw. Here we go. All right, little lady, there you go. Oh. See, they're soft. So let me come and say, you broke my arm, Pastor. All right, Well, I won't go down in the annals of my pastoral ministry as being a great tosser. Here we go, guys. Right there. Oh, you already get it. All right, back down. I'm going to have to work on that. All right. I know you think, you have absolutely lost your mind. I get it. And I know this will be a Sunday that will be remembered for a while. I hope it's not going to be remembered as my last Sunday. So if you look at your life point outline, let me put a truth, because this is all about just making a point. And the truth is, keeping faith new and fresh requires age-old spiritual disciplines. And that's we're talking about today, the discipline of fasting, okay? So if I want to keep my faith fresh and alive, fasting is going to be part of that. It's going to be part of that journey. And this is just personal opinion. This is biblical. And so many of you maybe have heard of you're familiar with the name of Jim Collins. If you do very much reading at all, he has written some great books. One of them is Good to Great, which you maybe are familiar with if you're in business. Built to Last is another one. A lot of people consider Jim Collins to be the best thinker on the planet today in the areas of organization and leadership. And the only reason I bring that up is because Collins made, I think, a very significant statement that applies so much to where we are today. And this is what he said. He said, most of us don't need to make more to-do lists. What we need to make are more stop-doing lists. Amen. Right? Do you agree with that? Rather than finding something else to do, we need to be backing it up. You know, fresh rolls taste great. I enjoy them, especially when they're hot, covered with butter. Hello. But the thing about it is, you know, if I let myself go and eat 2, 3, 4 rolls or whatever, the thing is, I'm going to get to the place to where I'm sluggish and I'm sleepy. And that's just the physical result, you know, from eating a lot of those carbs that are just, you know, just so good. Well, here's an insight I want you to notice in your outline. Going without food, while at the same time interjecting the Word of God, interjecting prayer and meditation and silence, can actually feed your soul and keep your faith fresh. And I just want you to understand that this is biblically true. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, 17, and 18. The Lord is speaking, and he says, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, notice he didn't say if, right? He said what? When, not if, when. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father, that the Father in heaven will notice your fasting in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And the implication is he will reward you openly. You fast in secret, the reward is open. Does that make sense? All right, you see that in Scripture. And so let's just bow together. I just would like for us to just start this morning, because I want to ask the Lord just to open your heart and my heart to this whole thing. Because understand this, your body, my body, will gear itself up to fight you on doing this. And maybe internally you're already having a battle saying, oh crumb, here we go. No, I don't know if I even want to do this. I totally get it. And I want you to understand, when that happens, that's your body talking. And that's where the war is, flesh and spirit. All right? And so just understand that. So let's bow together. Father, we put ourselves, Lord, Father, before you. And I want to thank you this morning for the Word of God that never changes. It is our only source of truth, eternal truth, truth that doesn't change and truth that is worldwide, century after century. It applies to all people at all times. And so, Father, I want to ask you today that you will bless us as we sit here and in the services to come, as we open your word on the ancient, godly discipline of fasting, and that it will grip our lives, Father, that we can see doors open in our relationship with you, and that the next 21 days will genuinely put our fellowship, your church here on the hill, it'll put us on the path to change, that we'll be better men and better women. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, now what I want you to notice, if you look in your whiteboard outline, just a couple of things that are obvious in the text, all right? Number one is God, the Bible says, don't make a public declaration about fasting. So the Lord talks about the Pharisees, and they were the fake believers, all caught up in religion, in rules, the kind of people that absolutely turn you off today when you see them. These are the people that are always telling you, you ought to be in church. You know, and it's all about church, and it's all about attendance. It's all about getting inside the walls. It's all about do all of this. It's all about that. That's what the Pharisees were all about. And Jesus said when they would fast, they would act in such a way so that it became obvious to people around them, well, obviously they must be fasting. And they wanted people to know that they were doing that, Jesus said. They would not bathe, would not comb their hair, would go around acting like they were just, you know, weak and about to fall out. So people would think, man, these people are so godly. They're so totally focused on their lives and their walk with God that they are neglecting their physical lives. And so they would live that way. So the first thing God wants us to know, he says, when our church family is going through a period of fasting, nobody in Lufkin, unless they're watching our service on TV or whatever, nobody should know that we're in a period of fasting as far as what they hear from us and what they see from us. It's what we're doing ourselves as a family. We're doing it ourselves. And then number two, fasting is a private discipline that secures a public reward. Down through the ages, God's kids have talked about things. Now, going back and I've just looked at things. God's people will talk about that fasting dislodged their stymied spiritual life. In other words, they said, I just felt like I wasn't going anywhere. And it was through fasting that it's like I began to experience a spiritual breakthrough in my life. So number two, fasting it sparks spiritual growth. Fasting has been a testimony from God's people that it got their businesses unstuck when it was like their business, which they had dedicated to the Lord, just wasn't going anywhere. Their career was maybe just on a hold. It couldn't move forward, and they were just like stuck there. Their fasting has been used to break holes, to break the hold of sin or trouble in marriages, in family problems. When a husband and a wife just get to an impasse, they don't know what else to do. One or both of them began to fast, began to cry out before the Lord, just lay out before the Lord, and it brought a breakthrough in marriage. Why? Because it breaks the hold of the flesh in our lives. And fasting many times is what God uses to take our lives over the top, to crash through barriers in our life. So some of us are wondering, why is my life not moving forward? And maybe the reason it's not moving forward is because God is wanting you to learn from this, that he is wanting fasting to be a part of your Christian walk. And that the Lord is saying, when you get into this, this is what's going to carry you through. This is where that breakthrough. I want to let you know, I have not forgotten you. I have not forsaken you. I am still here. But when you begin to do what I've talked to you about doing, when you begin to show that you are more interested in a blessing from me than you are in feeding the flesh of your body, then you will gain the attention of heaven. So I want you to look at the truth in your outline. There is a reward paid by heaven for earthly fasting. And that's what the Lord teaches us there in verse 18 of our text. So if you will, look at number one in your life point outline. The first thing that I just want to get in front of us is this. Let's talk about the purpose of fasting. And I want you to understand this. Biblical fasting, when you do it biblically, it is not just going without food for a period of time. If that's all it is, you call that dieting, okay? That's dieting. And we're not talking about dieting. Look at the truth in your outline. Fasting is refraining from food for a certain period of time to gain the help of God and to declare our weakness. So it's two things. What am I doing when I fast? Number one, I am declaring to God, I need your help in my life. Father, I need you. And then number two, I am declaring, I can't do this. That's why I'm fasting. What moves me to refuse to feed my flesh? It is the fact that I realize if I don't have some help from heaven, I'm not going to do well, or I'm not going to make it. God, I've absolutely got to have you. The Bible says that there are earthly rewards for fasting. Don't you understand? That's not the purpose of fasting. That is a byproduct. God blessing my life, that's a byproduct. What is it? What is the main deal about fasting? Look at the insight in your outline. The purpose of fasting is to draw me closer to God and to fall deeper in love with Him. That is what will happen from this. And I want you to listen to me for just a minute. And I want you to get my heart. I want you to know my heart. I want you to know the heart of the pastors that are serving you here. We are not, even though we're having this emphasis, this is not about making you do anything. And so I want you to know that. There's no guilt trip in charge in this. All right? We're not trying to make you do anything. And we're certainly not trying to seek to pressure you to do that. So if you feel that, I want you to put that over to the side. It is not about that. The truth is this. I will not be drawn to fasting. You will not be drawn to fasting if or unless, number one, you have a hunger for God that can't be satisfied. You just yearn for Him. God, I want you in my life. Father, I want you in my home. Some of you this morning, this is what you've been waiting for. You are wanting God in your home in some precious and special way. And you haven't seen it taking place. God is speaking to you. God is saying, if you want a greater sense of my presence in your home, in your business, you're not going to do this unless you feel so weak to be able to handle the challenges that life is throwing you. Life changes all the time. Would you agree with that? There are some days it is just hard. It's hard, all right? And what I'm telling you is, maybe that's where you are. And if that's where you are, like every step is a challenge, the answer to that is fasting. If you want to know, how do I handle it when I get to where it's just difficult for me to make another step? And what the Bible is saying is, these are the times that you turn to fasting. If you and I honestly mean that we want to see ourselves more fully alive in Christ, then fasting is going to be a part of our life. It's what we're going to do. That's what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say if. He said what? When. The Lord said, when you fast. Do you understand? Our Savior assumed we would fast. And so when you and I fast, that's not a surprise to Him. He assumes that we would do it. Luke 9, 23. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, listen, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I want you to notice those two words. Deny himself. And so what God is even saying is, if I am truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, if I am really chasing after the Lord, if you say, I am chasing after God in my life, I am chasing after him. I want to know him more. I want to, listen, if that's true, then the Bible says that there is an ongoing element of self-denial that will be operating in your life. And if you look at your life and you don't see an element of self-denial, then you are fooling yourself if you think you're chasing him. Because Jesus said, anyone who comes after me, let him deny himself. There will be self-denial. And isn't it true that for most of us, when it comes to food, the only thing we deny ourselves maybe is the amount. You know, we try to back off the amount, but not off from eating. And so the challenge of 2019, if I'm going to be a disciple of the Lord, if we're going to be the disciple for Christ that God wants us to be in our city, that means we've got to learn to deny ourselves, feeding our flesh so that we can feed our spirit. I've got to learn, and you've got to learn to say no to your body. Do you say no? So that I can say yes to him. So here's the insight in your outline. When we fast from food, we declare that food isn't the master of our lives, God is. That's what fasting is saying. Food's not the master of my life, God is. I'm not going to be controlled by food. And what I'm saying is, some of you, if you're like, you know, you're concerned about weight or you're concerned about whatever, this is how you can kickstart that, by getting in with us and beginning this. And so I think January is the best time for us to fast. And I know, it, like every January here, you hear the moaning and the groaning. Right after Christmas, right after Thanksgiving is the best time to do a fast. I mean, it's absolutely critical. You know why? Because for weeks, we have ate and ate and ate and ate. Every time we turn around, somebody was passing a plate to us. We come out of the holiday season. We are more likely to fall into sin in January after feeding our flesh for 8 weeks than any other time during the year. I mean, this can be absolutely critical to blessing your life. So that looks at number two then. Number two, fasting is a declaration of weakness. What I'm saying to my Father, what you're saying to the Lord, your God, when you fast is, Father, I need you because I can't pull this off on my own. The reality is that when we fast, we begin to feel physically weak. All right, you feel that. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And here's the question in your outline. Have you considered that your emotional tiredness, you just wrung out, your life frustration, you're just frustrated in life, and you're all around spiritual discouragement is because you've been playing God? And maybe you never thought about it that way. But let me ask you a question. This is what I ask myself. How many times do I catch myself acting like I'm God Jr.? And how do I act like I'm God Jr.? I act like God Jr. when I work more than I pray. When I am all about going and going and going and doing, and that I have to make a point to be still and to get on my face before the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying to myself, I honestly think I can pull this off. I can do this all on my own. I can be the husband that Catherine deserves. I don't have to pray about that. I can be what she needs. I can be the dad to my two boys. I can be the grandfather I need to be to my 12 grandkids. Do I honestly think I can be your pastor, the kind of pastor that you need to shepherd you here on the hill without help from the Lord? Do I honestly think that I can be the leader of the church staff that my staff needs me to be without looking to him? Do you understand what I am saying to God when I don't spend time alone with him and I'm just laid out before him and saying, God, if you don't move, if you don't work, I'm sunk. Right. Have you been the husband you ought to have been to your wife? Have you been the wife you ought to have been to your husband? And if we can say, no, I haven't been, then what that means is you've been doing way too much on your own instead of spending time with him. And I bring that up because of this truth in your outline. Any resistance on our part to be part of a church-wide fast is a declaration that we feel no great need for God's help in our lives. No, we just don't. Let me give you something I was thinking about. There's some of you, maybe not a lot of you in here, is going to be in the next two services. But I know in our fellowship, we have got families. Their kids, their sons, their daughters are about to go off to college, whether maybe for the second or the third time, or maybe for the very first time. And I want to ask you, because I know I did in my gut when Joel and Kristen first went off, do you feel nervous about your daughter, your son, going off to a big university or whatever? Do you feel concerned about their inadequacy for the challenges that are ahead of them, that they're going into that atmosphere and they're going to be facing? The danger to their soul, the danger to the trajectory of their life, because they're going to be surrounded by ungodly kids. They're going to be surrounded by young adults that have never made a decision for Christ. And they see sex not as something spiritual. It's just a normal bodily function. And it should not be denied. It should be given free rein to. And that's the pressure your son, your daughter, your grandchildren are going to face. That's what they're going to feel. Maybe they've got kids going into middle school or to high school. And that you would feel nervous about the kids who will offer themselves as friends to our children and our grandchildren. And the new, more powerful temptations that they're going to feel. As a church, we are numerically outgrowing our children's facilities. And we need to build before we run out of space. Before we reach the point that a parent would come in, a new parent, and would say, I'm not leaving my child in here. I'm afraid my child will get lost, that they won't be seen. That's where we're headed. It's not where we are, but it's where we're headed. Do you understand that? If you do, I need to see your head shaking. You understand what I'm saying? All right? Because God has blessed us. Families are coming, young families with children. And so we have got a challenge that's out here in front of us, not only to build for the kids that we have, but for those yet to come. And so look at the truth in your outline. Fasting reminds us that God is the power in our weak lives. And so that's why we fast. And then number three, our 21-day fast. Let me talk to you about this as I get ready to finish. And here's the truth in your outline. The type of fast should be determined at the front end. If you just say, well, I'm going to fast, you know, and I don't know, maybe it's going to be, maybe I'm going to fast one meal a day, I'm going to fast two meals a day, I'm going to fast one day a week, you know, whatever it's going to be. The thing is, if you don't make a decision at the front end as you go along, when your stomach starts to growl, more weird stuff makes sense. And you just begin to, that thing starts morphing and changing, you know, and you try to go to the point of least resistance. And so look at in your outline, our fast. Our pastors, we just prayed about this, we just talked about this, and we've got people at all different levels. And so just seeking to get our church moving, our pastor settled on a food fast, one fasting meal each day for 21 days. And that just simply means that if you're physically able to do that, our challenge is that you would fast one meal per day. You would not eat then, and you would not eat until it was the next meal time. And that the only thing you would take would be water. And you're basically denying your body. Okay? And the purpose is to seek the face of God. And if people have, maybe you've got issues physically that you cannot fast, you cannot do that because of blood sugar or whatever, then you can choose something that will be meaningful to you. It is a true denial, you know, whether it's like I'm going 21 days without coffee, I'm going without sweets, I'm going without carbs, you know, whatever that is, but that you have a specific time along with the rest of us where you are in the Word seeking the face of God. And I understand you've got your own concerns, and this will be the time for you to be praying about that. But what we've done is our pastors, we've worked together, and we've put together a booklet to guide you for these 3 weeks, all right? Each week there are devotionals that are in here. And this will be a time, something that you can follow when you have your quiet time. We've got three specific areas that we felt like needed a week of focus during these 21 days. And so in here, you'll find scriptures and you'll find directives that are focusing our attention on week one to personal obedience to God's will. In other words, what we desire more than anything is that you are doing what God wants you to do in your life. What's God's plan for you? And that your desire would be, Lord, I want to do whatever you want to do in and through me. So you're going to be seeking to be obedient, personally obedient to God's will. And then week number two is the stewardship of our resources, that we'll be thinking and praying about the upcoming children's building proposal, and when we come time for that, we will be ready, that we will be careful with our finances so that we're not overcommitted, so that we can make commitments to get this building built and get it paid for, because we don't carry long-term debt. We are debt-free here on the Hill. That's the way we like it. We work at getting that way very quickly. And so it's the history of our fellowship to build and to get it paid off. This building, because of circumstances that took place, this building wound up costing us $1 million more than was projected. Our people paid this building off in less than 3 years. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. All right. That's our history. We paid cash for that, what is now our office building, our educational building. And all I'm simply saying is God has assembled a fellowship on this hill because of the purpose that he has for us. And God is sovereignly blessing us as a people financially so that we can do. And if we're obedient to do what he wants us to do, we will continue to see God's hand upon our family. And so praying about that. And then the third week is the call of discipleship. We've got Pastor John Richardson is with us. And we're going to be talking about, I want you to be praying about discipleship. Because that is really what the Lord Jesus is about in our walk and our relationship with him, is being a true disciple and helping other people to be followers of Christ. And so that's the direction that we're going to be going here on the hill. Which brings me then to number four, and this is the last point I'll give you this morning, the power of fasting. Number one, fasting will feed your spirit. It will feed your spirit. When I ignore my physical hunger for the purpose of seeking God, listen, it feeds my spirit. It gives nourishment to my soul. If you're sometimes saying, you know, John, at just times I feel just like I'm just like planed out spiritually. It doesn't stir me. All right. The matter can be that you've been overemphasizing feeding your flesh. You've been thinking too much about the flesh, the body, and not thinking enough about your spirit. And Jesus, God the Son, said, when you fast. And so he said, this is going to be a part of your life. This is how we walk with him. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, Jesus was on a 40-day total food fast. 40 days. You remember Satan comes to him. Satan says, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Do you know what the temptation was? Satan's temptation wasn't just tempting Jesus to eat. It was that the Lord would satisfy his deepest need with instant gratification. In other words, use your power to instantly take care of the needs of your body. That was a temptation. Feed this. Take care of this above everything else. Jesus' response was, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is an interesting statement. And what the Lord said was, Jesus told Satan, the deepest needs of our life can indeed be filled, but not with food. The greatest need in my home doesn't come from me just being able to put food on the table for my family. That's not how I supply the deepest need of my family. If I want to see my grandchildren doing well, if I want to see my sons prospering, if I want to see the good hand of God on my family as I come in and as I go out, who in here doesn't want to see that for their family? Isn't that what we want? Right?
All right, so what God is saying, or so the Lord is saying is, it will not come by consistently feeding your body. If you make it bread alone, you're never going to see what you want to see in your family and in your life. And then he says, number two, fasting prioritizes your life. Jesus said, it is imperative you prioritize life. John 4:32, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. Look, here's the insight. Our Lord wasn't anorexic. You know, they were concerned he wasn't eating. He's not anorexic. He said he just never let his body rule his soul. He said, don't let my body rule. Fasting reminds us there's more to life than what we take in. So I want you to look at your invitation this morning. Let's fill in those blanks. We are calling for a 21-day fast, not to claim how spiritual the hill is. That's not what we're about. That's not who we are as a people, okay? We're not going to be bragging. We're not going to be talking to the city about, as our church, that we're in a fast. That is our business, and it is all in-house. It's what we're doing as a family. But we are fasting to declare. What are we declaring as a people? We are saying we are weak. We feel weak to accomplish God's plan and purpose in our church, our homes, our businesses, and our own very lives without his help. Now, I don't know about you. I can jump on that. I can jump on that. And that is what I'm asking you to do. And so this morning, if you feel weak to make the changes in your life that you feel like need to be made, you feel weak to break maybe some addiction in your life, you feel weak to break a stranglehold maybe of a certain sin in your life, too weak to change your family is going the wrong direction, and you can't stop it. You have no effect. If that's true for you, if you feel too weak to help your business break through, this is a time for you to fast. And what I want to ask you to do, I want to ask us all to bow our heads right now. And I want to ask, if this resonates with you, I just want you all across this auditorium, will you just stand right where you are, heads bowed, eyes closed, just stand wherever you are to say, Brother John, this is what I want. This is what I need in my life. I want to enter into this fasting period with you and our church family. Would you just stand wherever you are to say, yes, we're going to do this. This 21 days of transformation. It's not about saying no to roles. It is 21 days of saying yes to the path that God has called us to do what he wants to do in our lives. And so let me say, as I get ready to pray and close this morning, as you're leaving, while the preaching's been going on, we have put out on some tables in the foyer one of these booklets, the 21 Days of Transformation. And so I want to ask each of you, grab one of these books. If you're committed to the fast, grab one of these books with you and carry it with you as you leave. And this starts tomorrow morning and ends on Sunday the 27th, all right? So, Father, thank you this morning for your word. God, thank you for speaking to us so clearly. Thank you, Father, for the challenge and for the joy that's going to come, for the things we're going to learn. Lord, for the way that you're going to manifest yourself in our presence. We're going to have greater power and anointing to see people's lives changed and to see our own homes changed, to see our businesses changed. Lord, to see our lives begin to take on a light and a joy that hasn't been there, because we have found the way to feed our soul, to feed our spirit, and that is by denying the flesh. And so, Father, thank you for what you've taught us this morning. And as we leave here today, as we go, may our tithes and our offerings that we give, Father, bring honor and glory to you. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you will, be seated for just a moment. Watch the screen, and then you're...